So happy Lent, dear ones. For the next 40 days plus Sundays, so 46-ish days, we are in this season of the church year that leads us to the cross. 40 days to repent, change, do something different, build a different habit, reflect on something deeper. And this year we're using the Sanctified Arts theme, everything in between. And we've got these two hands, almost touching. We're going to be exploring binaries, these things that seem like polar opposites and the messy middle in between them. Reverend Anna Strickland, who's a part of the creative team for Sanctified Art, puts it this way. So much beauty in the world comes from these in-between spaces, in the space between night and day. The sun and atmosphere collide into a dazzling display of color. Waterfalls span the space between cliffs and the river below with astonishing power. Mangrove forests, beaches, and bayous exist entirely in the space between land and water. The edges of things, the mixing spaces, the space where biomes collide, are the most interesting places on Earth. And yet we feel this compulsion to exist in categories. We construct boxes around sacred and secular, woman and man, left and right, compressing the complexity and beauty of the whole spectrum of being into just two words. What a gift it is to set aside the boxes and follow the example of our Creator, who created night and day and everything in between, land and water and everything in between, you and me and everything in between. The Alpha and Omega is surely with us in this space in between. And so we began our journey on Ash Wednesday with the binary of action versus intention. And today we build on that, looking at stranger, neighbor, with this too popular parable of the Good Samaritan that you've now heard twice. So a quick reminder about parables. The word parable comes from two Greek words, para, like parallel, putting something side by side, which means to cast, and balo, which means to cast or throw. And so parables put two side-by-side images and ask us to think about them, the story that Jesus tells and the story that we are living into. And all of this is under the assumption that we already know we are living in God's kingdom. This living assumes that you already know you are a part of it. You are loved and embraced. And so how do you want to live within this? God's unconditional grace for you means that you can be a poop, and this will not change how God loves you. This is the unfair ridiculousness of grace. But parables invite us into a deeper reflection of how we are behaving within the kingdom. And how can we live in a way that brings the kingdom a little bit closer for everyone else? How they too can experience God's love and unfair, ridiculous grace. How can we together experience life that is really life? Of course, your salvation doesn't depend on it, so it's really up to you whether you want to opt in. But when we decide to opt in, we're going to feel better about ourselves and the world around us. It's kind of like eating your veggies, yeah? All right, so on to this story of the Good Samaritan. There's some really important nuances in here. The first time this parable was shared, it would have had an extreme shock factor to it. Who is my neighbor is a good question. We still ponder what that means today. For early Judaism and for Jesus, who was a Jew, neighbors were fellow Jews. And strangers were people from other nations. In early Judaism, as in today, all Jewish people are members of one or three groups. Priests, Levites, and Israelites. And so as soon as Jesus mentions the priest and the Levite, Jewish people would have expected the third person to be an Israelite. But this is not what happens in the story. The third person is a Samaritan. And this would have caused quite a stir, for Samaritans and Jewish folks were religious and biblical siblings, both claiming descendant from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But that is where the connection stops. In the days of Jesus, these folks were bitter rivals, and they disagreed on almost everything. Proper place of worship, who can be a priest, what are the proper scriptures, correct interpretation of the Torah. For Jesus to put a Samaritan in the spot of hero was simply absurd. Like that picture book describes, there are no good blues for the yellows. There are no good yellows for the blues. And there's definitely no such thing as a good Samaritan for the Jewish people. I'll leave it up to you who you think would fit in that ridiculous spot for you today. There is no good, .. As we consider the messy middle in between stranger and neighbor, it's important for us to see in this story that the lawyer asks, who is my neighbor? And Jesus changes the question. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor? And here the lawyer can't even bring himself to say out loud, Samaritan. But he admits, it's the one who gives mercy, the one who showed mercy. In God's kingdom of mercy and love, these qualities will always debunk every rule, every boundary we attempt to put in place. This is who we are called to be, in the messy middle, in between stranger and neighbor, erasing the otherness and remembering that the names we call one another truly matter. As you know, this was a busy week for clergy. We had two services this week, a lot of things to prepare for. And the revolving door of sickness in the Valenti household keeps spinning. But I got to my office Monday morning after dropping two kids off at their respective schools, and I was feeling frantic, and I had just taken my coat off when the doorbell rang. And it was someone asking to meet with the pastor, and I'm not proud of this, but I shouted something like, come on, Jesus. But I took a breath and I said, come on in. And I buzzed them in and I met them downstairs in the undercroft. And of course it was someone who needed financial assistance. And at first I found myself getting really impatient. Can you just get to the ask that I know you want to ask, that I know you need to ask? And instead, they started telling me their life story. And I almost cut them off. And then I remembered this prayer from Padraic O'Tuama, that we resolve to live life in its fullness. We will welcome the people who will be a part of this day. We will greet God in the ordinary and hidden moments. We will live the life we are living. May we find the wisdom we need. God be with us. May we hear the needs of those we meet. God be with us. May we love the life that we are given. God be with us. And I found myself melting into the chair in the undercroft lobby as my heart softened as I heard this person's story. Their struggles to find work during the pandemic as a certified electrician, the humility and pain of trying to navigate the medical system through four eye surgeries, becoming unhoused and yet seen as too privileged in the eyes of the shelter system because they still had their car and phone. And then last week, the lifeline that a buddy offered a basement couch for them to stay to get a second start, but it was all the way in Pennsylvania. And all they needed was a little money for gas and tolls. They cried, I cried, And I am so grateful to serve a congregation that can say yes most of the time when these needs and stories surface without asking too many questions. For dear ones, this is what it means to meet God and our neighbors. And it was also a humble reminder to me of how many times others have listened to my story and come to my need when I've needed help. No questions asked. Perhaps this is why the story of the Good Samaritan is so popular, that it has resonated with us over the centuries because it percolates so many good questions, doesn't it? Have you ever been scared of someone? Have you ever been afraid to do something, even though you knew it was the right thing to do? What stops us from being a good neighbor? And what does it mean to ask for help in unexpected places? And how do we together bridge this gap between stranger and neighbor? Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. privately shared with a friend that he had misgivings about this story. He shared, "I think the Good Samaritan's a great individual. Of course, I like and respect the Good Samaritan, but I don't want to be a Good Samaritan. You see, I am tired of picking up people along the road to Jericho. I'm tired of seeing people battered and bruised and bloodied, injured and jumped on along the Jericho roads of life. This road is dangerous. I don't want to pick anyone else up. I want to fix the road. I want to pave the road of Jericho and add street lights to the road of Jericho and make the road of Jericho safe for passage for everyone." And dear ones, I think this is the work we are doing with our welcome statement. You see, the road to Jericho will keep labeling people as stranger, unclean, broken, lazy, gross, weirdo, loser, idiot, liar, wrong, stranger, strange. Jesus in this story invites us to envision this messy middle where everyone's first name is good. Everyone's first name is beloved. We can only be made well in relationship with one another. And so with this welcome statement, we have an opportunity to start building a road where everyone feels safe, everyone feels beloved, everyone feels included. You know, the feedback we've heard on this welcome statement has been fairly positive. There's a few misgivings, but what we've realized so far in this journey is that we need to actually own this work. We need help crafting a statement that actually describes who Faith Lutheran is and who God is calling us to be in this moment. And so we need your help. Help us describe what welcome looks like. Help us describe who God, the kind of neighbors that God is calling us to be, and the road, what can the road to Jericho look like? You can do this. I'm going to put some sticky notes up in the sanctuary every week. Or you can join the kids and grab a few handprints. But we are going to use the words and stories that you write down to help describe a draft welcome statement. For we can only build this road together. Jesus asks today, "Which of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And the lawyer said, "The one who showed mercy." Jesus replied, "Go and do likewise." Amen. Thanks be to God.